It was a hard game to score. You know, when you miss a shot against Clemson, they're not going to race it back up and try to attack. I'm going to play that tennis match. You know, I give our kids credit for being able to withstand that mental grind. We're going to play a couple other teams are going to do that to us as well and not let it diminish our defensive effort.
We lost to LSU. I hit him right after the game with LSU and just said, hey, that was a tough loss. We're not the defensive team that we've been. We have individuals changing how they were playing when they were successful. We need to go back to what we were. And you know what? Sometimes you got to get knocked in the head to know that. And so the loss to LSU probably helped us win this game.
Come on, everybody. You're in the zone.
In the zone.
The Zone with Jason Anderson. Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville.
Need to fill holes and gaps.
Want to be part of the show? Give us a call at 267-9680.
Now,
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
They're good at tipping balls. You better grab it with two or you're not bringing it in.
Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Wow, I got to see this. That's my man.
It's a Monday edition of The Zone on ESPN 680 105.7.
Did you get tripped up there for a sec? Did you forget who would show you're on?
Nope. Just a little pause for effect. Monday edition of The Zone on ESPN 680 105.7 WHBE. 3 hours we got you. Oh, is it 3 hours today, Magic? I think it is. Heading up until 6 o'clock. We typically do that Monday through Friday right here in the afternoon. Certainly we appreciate when you hang out with us over those 3 hours, texting, calling, interacting, tweeting as well, all different ways to get in contact with the show, 437-9680. That is the UPS Jobs text line. Best way to get in contact with the show. You can also call in at 267-9680. We've got a more wide-open show today as we got a full-court press at 4 o'clock, and that's really it. A lot of reaction to the weekend. We have, you know, obviously some college basketball to get into. With Kentucky taking care of Tennessee, color me surprised, or don't. Whatever you feel like doing. So we got tons of takeaways from that game. Louisville surviving Clemson, and that would be the way that you would describe it, is surviving Clemson by the nails of Jordan Wara's fingers surviving Clemson on Saturday. So definitely want to get into that. I think the top 25 rankings, while they mean nothing for the NCAA tournament, I don't know if they are foreshadowing or letting us sort of inside view of what the Duke game did for Louisville. I got some thoughts on that and maybe connecting some dots there with the top 25 rankings. Again, not a big deal for the end of the season tournament and when the brackets are released and there are not, you know, breakdowns of the top 25 ranking inside the selection room. But it's not about where Louisville is ranked. And if, you know, you saw they dropped two spots, Kentucky up to number four. Louisville went from 16 down to 18. But again, a couple of other things that happened with that particular poll I have some thoughts on as well. NBA All-Star Weekend, the dunk champion, still from the Commonwealth. How about that, huh? Back-to-back years. Who's the champion next year from Kentucky or Louisville? Who's taking it home next year? Anybody? Jordan Wara? It's not Jordan. P.J. Washington? It's not P.J. Washington. Tyler Hero. Lock it up. Nailed it. Done deal.
How about Winions Gabriel?
I don't know that Winions is going to compete in the dunk contest next year.
I'll go with Quade Green.
Quade Green. Well, that's probably the right answer. Quade Green. If it's not Winions, it's going to be Quade. Or it's going to be Jerome as the center for Virginia. It could be that, too. I'm not sure. Diallo with the dunk competition champion. Thoughts from over the weekend. We'll get into the All-Star game and the hate thereof. We'll talk about that. Rick Pitino wins a championship. That's all he does.
Rick.
All he does is win championships. He's there a half season. And Panathinaikos I just guessed. That may or may not be right, as far as you know. Wins the Greek championship because that's what Rick Pitino does. I've got a couple of thoughts on that. I've got a fun thought and comment on Panathinaikos winning the championship and a serious commentary on that as well. Fun and serious. That's the zone. And then we'll get into the Athletic over the weekend. They've been doing the series of conferences or teams within the conference, and they've been talking to coaches in that particular conference to give the scout on other teams. Now, they're given, you know, anonymity, and their identities are withheld so that they can also be a little more candid in their commentary and not just simply give coach speak. Oh, they're really good. They do this good. How well do they play? I mean, it's just a phenomenal team. And it's like, yeah, Wake Forest is 1-17, man. Yeah, but it's a very tough luck 1-17. It's like, come on, man. We're not in fourth grade anymore, okay? We don't need the participation trophy right now, all right? Let's be real here, okay? There are some teams that suck. There are some teams that just aren't very good. And so that's what the Athletic brought out. And they went through all the conferences. They went through most of the Group of Five, and they went through, the Big East was included in that list. And then they went through, the SEC, ACC, Pac-12, Big 12, Big 10, and all of that. So they have, in Seth Davis's recent one, Kentucky and Louisville talked about and the opposing coaches scout on those teams. So we will get into that. And a funny story, maybe it's funny, maybe it's not. I'm just sort of confused on something going on in the news today with a plea bargain that includes something that is a head scratcher. We will certainly get into that. Also, sound of the day. Look, man, I haven't seen a second of the AAF. And it's not because I haven't wanted to watch those, but I just haven't, found the time to get around and watch it. But thank God Steve Spurrier's back. Even though I haven't watched a second, Steve Spurrier talking. There's a reason to bring back an entire league, and that is to make sure that Spurrier has a microphone. So our sound of the day may be that. And then Jamel Hill. Saw this tweet this morning. Jamel Hill was going through like bad commercials, and there's a very bad commercial in Memphis, and so we may get to that as well. Again, 437-9680, ways you can get in contact with the show is the text line, and 267-9680 is the phone number. By the way, a lot of texts coming in. Ja Morant, that's a great suggestion for next year. Dunk competition champion. That is a great suggestion. Although with the leaping ability and how easy and smooth it was, I would say Diallo should continue to defend his crown. I would say Diallo should continue to do that because he's fun. And for as high and easy as he can leap, he can do a lot of things in the air, one of those being jumping over Shaq. And I don't care what anybody says. He didn't launch off Shaq's back. He touched Shaq's back. There was a difference. Dennis Smith launched off Dwayne Wade. He had both hands on Wade's shoulders and pushed up. Like, Dwayne Wade got pushed down and was, like, losing his balance. Shaq didn't even move. Now, it's Shaq versus Wade. I get that. But he touches Shaq's back. It wasn't a launch to push off and go even higher. Also, the fact that, he did the Vince Carter and then stayed there. I always thought that about Vince Carter that I wish Vince would have stayed hanging from the rim by his elbow. I wish he would have extended that out just a little bit, and that's what Hamidou Diallo did, and then, of course, broke open the Guess Superman underneath the shirt. So when that dunk happened, you knew it was over, especially with Dennis Smith Jr. having to, take three attempts on every single one of his dunks. Like, I was thinking about, Giannis Antetokounmpo said that he wanted to do the dunk competition next year, and Donovan Mitchell said, if you do it, I'm in. So it's like, all right, so you get Mitchell, you get Giannis, Diallo's the defending champion, and he was fun to watch, so he's got to be included in it. I was thinking about Dennis Smith Jr., but I'm like, no. I thought it was going to be a better dunk, but it took him like three attempts almost every time. Zach LaVine would be fun to see him do it. And then next year's
going to be... Will he take his shirt off too?
I hope so. And then And then only if he does like the pelvic thrusting. Is it Levine the singer and Levine the ball player?
I think they're both Levine.
Are they? Whatever.
Yeah. The only problem I have with that is that we unfortunately will not get the name and then the outline of a state on his chest because you can't do that in the NBA.
That is unfortunate.
You can trade around too much.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, you can do the outline of the state that you're from. You're representing that, you know. And then you throw Zion into the competition. And then now you got to throw in Ja Morant.
Yeah, I really want to see Zion on that competition next year.
So they should – you could go Donovan Mitchell, Giannis, Diallo, Levine, Zion, Ja Morant. That's six.
LeBron's scared of that competition.
But there's only four.
Jordan would have gotten in there. LeBron's scared.
Well, they only have four. So now you got to limit it to just four. So if you're saying, okay, Giannis wants to do it next year, well, Mitchell already participated in one, so I'll take Giannis just to see what he can do. Levine was awesome, and Mitchell was awesome, but I got to see Zion in there. And so Diallo was amazing to watch. Like, I don't know how you eliminate and just start going like, you know, look, Aaron Gordon was awesome, and Levine, them going back and forth was great, but Diallo was fun. And as high as he can leap, like the one of the more enjoyable ones was Levine and Aaron Gordon. But again,
only he jumped like that against Kansas State.
That's right. That's exactly right. If you'd have just had that leaping, but why did he dunk? Why did he dunk over Dean Wade? I mean, that's the problem. That's the problem with Hamidou. He was practicing his dunks instead of being in the gym shooting jumpers, and they lose to Kansas State. All because of Hamidou Diallo. I hope you enjoy that dunk contest. Okay? I hope you enjoy the trophy.
If he'd had that dunk contest, PJ wouldn't have kept getting fouled on the drives. They could have just given the ball to Hamidou, and you know that you don't have the free throw problem.
That's right. I hope the trophy that's going to be prominently displayed in your trophy room of the dunk contest is nicer than the championship plaque that could have been there. Or the Final Four ring that you could have put there. I hope it's not. I hope you appreciate that, Hamidou. Okay? It's your fault. If you can jump over Shaq, you can jump over Dean Wade. Okay? You can jump over a K-State if you can jump over Shaq. Okay? Shaq
is my man.
Is that me? Thanks, Cal. I appreciate that, huh? He knew. See, that's the thing. He's saying that's my man because Cal was thinking that himself.
That's my man.
It's about damn time somebody said what everybody was thinking. I'll say it. Everybody's afraid to say it. I do love that in today's sort of commentary. I'll just say what everybody's afraid to say. I'll just say what everybody's afraid to say. What is that? They lost because Hamidou Diallo's dunking too much. There, I said it. I said it. There it is. They lost to K-State because Hamidou Diallo's just a dunker. Okay? He was worried about the NBA. He thought about the dunk competition. That's all he was doing. How about shoot some jumpers, homie? How about do that? How about this? Quade Green didn't transfer soon enough. How about that? He transferred this year and looked the better. Last year, who took the bad shot? A couple of them, right? Yeah. Right? Yeah, that's what I thought. Why didn't Hagans reclassify to 2 years? He only reclassified once. He could have entered college as a junior. Why not? Worked as his worked as this year. All right, so we'll get into that as well. Kentucky was impressive. Like I think that's just a simple breakdown of the game. Was that they were simply impressive in that game. Coming off the LSU game and the LSU loss, there's always a question of how a team reacts, how they're going to, you know, then approach that next game. If it was, did they lose to LSU because they were looking ahead? Did they, you know, lose the target when they got the decent lead on LSU? What was it, up 9 with whatever to play? Did they sort of exhale and start to maybe peek ahead or look at the finish line and think that the game was over? Whatever, or LSU was just simply a talented team that started making shots because that's what they are. Like, LSU has a lot of talent on their team, I probably won't have them going, you know, to the Sweet 16. But regardless, they're a talented team, and teams that have
you will. You no, just won't have them going beyond that.
No, I doubt it. I doubt that. We'll see. I mean, if they get matched up, you know, against a bad team, then maybe that's the thing. If, you know,
who goes further, LSU or Gonzaga?
Stop. Gonzaga does. Are you kidding me? Gonzaga does.
I don't know about that.
They're going to be in the Sweet 16. They're going to be a 1 seed or a 2 seed.
So one of them draws a scrappy Cincinnati team in McCronin.
Like I said, They're going to be a Sweet 16 team, okay? If Gonzaga's a 1 seed, they'll play an 8-9, and they're fine. If they're a 2 seed, they'll play the 7-10, and they're fine. They'll move on because, by the way, they're used to playing 8-9s and 7-10s all year. Sorry, they're used to playing NIT teams. I apologize. They aren't actually playing tournament teams at all, except for the two wins that they have against tournament teams, Duke and Washington. Maybe St. Mary's makes a tournament. We'll see. Maybe. So they might have three teams that are making the tournament that they've played or beaten. I'm sorry.
If St. Mary's makes a tournament, Andy Sweeney is going to lose his mind.
Well, you know, Magic, you know the old saying when it comes to the tournament. You got to get 68 teams somehow. You got to get 68 somehow.
Oh, how can you leave Indiana out of the tournament? Look at the quality wins they've had. What a travesty.
The fact that Portland East State Tech University didn't get included is a travesty. They have amazing players that have worked hard all 4 years.
You're slipping into Walton here.
I know. What an amazing tournament field this is going to be. But the fact that Portland State Tech University, as Dick Vitale once said, and by the way, might I add, Dick is amazing. They should be in the tournament field as well.
By the way, did you catch at the end of the Tennessee game when they were getting ready to preview that the Pac-12 game was coming up next?
Oh, yeah.
Jay Billis had a little bit of a Walt impression there.
I know. It was pretty good. Jay Billis does a decent Bill Walton impression.
All right.
No,
all
he
right.
really does. He
I
kind of
want to have him on this week to see if he can do it for us.
No, no. He laps me in the field with the Bill Walton impressions. He's pretty good. And his Bill Raftery. Anything with a Bill. He does a Bill Clinton, a Bill Raftery, a Bill Walton, a Billy Reid. Jay Billis' Billy Reid is awesome. It's really good. By the way, we should... you're going to go ahead and... thank you, sir. We should switch the Chad Ford sound that we play all the time of is he Joe Lunardi or not? Should we switch that to is he Jerry Palm or not? I bring that up because Joe Lunardi's last bracket update was on Valentine's Day. How about this, Joe? We love college basketball. That's my tie-in with Valentine's Day. How about updating it every once in a while? Jerry Palm is every other day now. He had it updated this morning. It's Monday.
Is Joey Brackets responsible for the NET now? Because the net rankings...
Oh, it's updated. I've got them right
here. Yeah, but it wasn't updated this morning.
Yeah, I mean...
They're taking their sweet time.
Is that what it is? Are you mad about that it took a little while for them to update the net rankings?
Not just me, the entirety of the midday rush.
Oh, really?
No, be better. Be better.
I mean, I don't know when they released that. I just know it at noon.
But like 11:30, I want to say, this morning. I don't know. Be better than that. You know, it's Monday. You've already got a couple hours into the workday. Be better. I don't have a couple hours work a day, but you guys do.
You're not wrong. It ain't exactly like there's a ton of games on Sunday. You know, it ain't exactly like it's a full slate of games on a Sunday, all right?
Hold on.
There
we
ain't
really
much.
Need to see this Big 12 or Big 10 matchup.
There ain't
it
much.
It determines everything.
There ain't much on a Sunday. Let me just say that. And by the way, just as an aside, the Saturday slate of games, dog trash. Louisville Clemson from 2 o'clock until you got to 8, you didn't have to watch anything. You didn't have to watch anything. The only sort of intrigue was the Notre Dame Virginia game, but we all knew Notre Dame wasn't going to win. Like you're watching somebody's like, oh, well, if he can make 2 out of 3 half court shots, he might win a car. All right, well, we'll watch because there's a chance, I guess, he'll make 2 out of 3. You know, you never know. But ultimately, we know it's not going to happen. That was Notre Dame and Virginia. The only real game that was like, hey, this kind of has some intrigue. Like the Tailspin Ale Fest, perfect day to have it. Perfect day to have Tailspin was Saturday. Louisville Clemson over at 2. Kentucky, Tennessee is at 8 o'clock. And there was a bunch of dog with fleas games the rest of the day. I mean, it was just trying to get through some of the afternoon. And it's annoying because there was a lot of stuff that I was doing around the house on Saturday that I'm like, great. I've got the, you know, house here to myself. Wife and the boy went to go see the nephew play a little basketball game, hanging out there with the with her family, watching the Louisville Clemson game. After that, they were staying and hanging out a little bit longer. I got a lot of the afternoon just to sit here and watch some ball and do some work around the house. And it was terrible. And I was very annoyed. And then Sunday, we get nothing. I think this weekend we get Michigan State on a Sunday, which isn't bad. Not a bad game, although now looks like Nick Ward's out for the year. So they've lost Langford and Ward has Michigan State. this year, a team that people thought could win the national championship. Now you're looking at it and going, yeah, they're too beat up. They're too injured. What was that for? Why is Billy laughing about Nick Ward being injured? What the hell, Billy?
Just because Michigan State is a contender.
I mean, well, they're a contender to win four games. Sorry.
That's a good say.
Yeah, they were going to be a contender. They're one of the many contenders to get to Minneapolis. But you wouldn't put them. It's like, hey, I don't trust Rick Barnes. DTRB. Don't trust Rick Barnes. DTRB.
A scary thought in the back of my mind is that this is going to be a year where somehow Syracuse makes the Final Four. For no reason. They have no business being there, but this just feels like one of those years.
Isn't that kind of what they do?
Yeah, that's
I mean, that's what Boeheim does.
It's like they're good enough to win some games, and everybody's like, ah, Syracuse is all right.
What
this
are
is
going
to be a team that's a Final Four team. Boeheim's going to do it.
No, legit. Like, I want to look up now Jim Boeheim's last few Final Fours, what seed they were. Because I think they were a 10 in both of their last Final Fours. They were a 10 against Virginia. I know that. When they made the Final Four there, they were definitely a 10 when they came back and beat Virginia. That was in the 16 tournament. Although that has, I think, since been, some of those games have been vacated. I don't know. Things happen, right? But Syracuse, Virginia, that year, they were a 10 seed. Exactly what I thought. 10 seed there, and then they made the Final Four in 2013, and they were a God, they played Michigan. God, what seed were they? They were a 4 seed. So it's a 4, it's a 10. It's kind of what Syracuse does. Yeah, I would not be surprised if that's the case. Yeah. So they get to the Final Four in 13 as a 4 seed, and then the Final Four as a 10 seed. Oh, yeah. But, of course, well, they're going to be like a 10 seed this year, so you never know. It might be one of those to where somehow they made the tournament. Tyus Battle goes and does like a Wally Szczerbiak run and just lifts and carries a team to the Final Four, and they have the the zone that bothers some teams and things like that. So we will see. But I will say this. There is no surprise if Kentucky is in Minneapolis. And the game against LSU, again, maybe it's one of those to where do you learn from, you know, a team coming back and being down a good portion of that game, and then all of a sudden they turn it on and you can't stop or stem the tide. We saw that with Louisville and Duke. And it was a less, you know, severe, you know, giveaway for Kentucky against LSU. But there was a part on Saturday night, and Cal talked about it after the game. Like, there was an element of Saturday night when you felt like, okay, Tennessee's back in this thing. Tennessee all of a sudden is going on a run, and it's one of those, is there going to be some game pressure? And this is where you go, see, Tennessee, they're mentally strong. They're seniors. They're tough. They've been through the grind. Rick Barnes always has tough teams to beat. They will be mentally up to the task to be able to come back at Rupp against Kentucky, down 24. Look, it's a 12-point game. And then Kentucky extended it out to 19. And that to me was a, you know, I heard Dave Skull talking about this morning with Perrin, and it's absolutely a great point, is that when Tennessee made a run, and they started to get within sort of striking distance. And was it Schofield that finally hit a three in the game to pull them within 13? And it was like, all right. Or maybe it was 15 down to 12. Whatever it was, it was 12 or 13. And you thought, okay, uh-oh. They're making a run. They've shaved 11 points or 12 points off this lead now. And they didn't do it in a whole lot of time. And then Kentucky came out and went on a run of their own and answered that particular run. And it wasn't to where they went on an 11 or 12 nothing run. They put in 4 or 5 points. Now, all of a sudden, what's 12 is now 17. You're like, okay, well, you extended a little more breathing room. And then if Tennessee makes another run and gets a couple of baskets in a row, great. They're now back to where they were before you went on that, you know, quick little dunk and three-point shot. And that's what really Louisville was missing throughout the game, and certainly the last 10 minutes against Duke. And not to rehash that, it's just that, you know, we saw that Saturday night against Tennessee with Kentucky, that they were able to stem the tide, at least offensively, and get something rolling and get a couple of buckets and, you know, get a little bit more breathing room and then not relax, but then feel like you're back in control, that it isn't just all falling and you know, you're sliding down a hill and you have nothing to grip onto. You know, you're Chris Farley in Black Sheep. Vote for Donnelly, vote for Donnelly. Every vote matters. And then falls down and stay strong, little root. Narrator, the root did not stay strong. That's sort of what it felt like with Louisville on Tuesday night, is that you're just falling, you're trying to grasp onto something. Kentucky was able to grasp onto something and get a little bit of footing and be able to hold Tennessee off. And Louisville just simply didn't do that against Duke. Now, against Clemson, not to bounce back and forth, but against Clemson, they were able to do that a couple of times. The Malik Williams dunk, the free throws, because if those didn't happen, the crazy ending with 15 seconds left, which we'll get into with Louisville, you know, cost them the game. If it wasn't for a couple of things that happened positively with McMahon breaking the press, dropping off the ball to Malik Williams, and then him dunking it home and taking the 2 points that are there. You get 2 points taken. You can burn some clock, but you got 2 points right there. It's guaranteed. Just go up and dunk it. And don't, you know, retreat back to half court. Like I tweeted out when that happened, like I think against Duke, McMahon, you know, brings the ball out to half court because it was, again, a little bit pregnant. Do we want to be aggressive? Do we want to burn some clock? Do we want to go 2-on-1? Do we want to go 3-on-2? Do we want to bring it back out? And, boy, there's 22 seconds left on the shot clock, so let's get that down to 5 and take a shot. So there you go. You just shaved off 17 seconds in a game in which, you know, Duke was making a crazy comeback. It didn't happen with Tennessee, and it didn't happen ultimately with Louisville because they got a couple of buckets there to stem the tide, and it was a little – you know, too late for Clemson, down 7 with 15 seconds to go, but still find a way to get back in that. Can you play Admiral Schofield after the game? I thought this was an interesting clip as, you know, it was going around the internet on really Sunday morning is when I saw it. As, you know, we see that game, we see a physical game that was played, a really physical game, and that's typically what you would expect from Tennessee. Juniors and seniors played together for a while. The MO of this Rick Barnes team is, as I mentioned, they're mentally tough, they're physically tough. Admiral Schofield is built like a football player. Grant Williams is built like a football player. Those guys are on the floor. Bone is one of the better point guards in the SEC. Bowden can come off the bench and
Bone's also got some crazy eyebrow game, I'm just saying. A couple times when it was like one of the UK players going for three throws, he was in the backcourt.
Mm-hmm.
That man's got some eyebrow game. That's my man.
Interesting. Yeah, he's got some. He had some. Okay, we'll see now. Game, and then he saw. He had some clapping, walking off at halftime. We're good. We're good. Narrator, they were not good. They actually came out and watched a 14-0 run. So they did. They were not good heading to halftime. It did not work out well for them when they came out of the locker room for the second half. But Admiral Schofield, after the game was over, was asked his thoughts on what happened in that game in which they end up losing by 17.
Tonight we weren't Tennessee tough. Kentucky was totally kicking our butt on the glass, driving, scoring the ball, defense, everything. And you know what? Coach Cal did a great job. And I know that he was probably telling those guys exactly what we did to them last year, how we out-toughed them, how we out-physicaled them. We came to play, and you know what? That team was very hungry. You're on the top of the pedestal. Sometimes it's easy to lose that hunger. But we haven't lost the hunger. We just didn't come to play tonight.
Lost the hunger. Didn't come to play. They out-physicaled us. They were not playing Tennessee basketball. Kentucky took it to them. Kentucky was tougher. Kentucky was the team that was ready to play. I would say that I think Tennessee will be ready to play the next time they match up down in Knoxville. So Kentucky had better be ready for another tough, physical fight like we saw on Saturday. I don't know how the game is going to be officiated. I don't know if it's going to be called closer. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, as much physical contact that was allowed. And I will say, watching the game, there was one time on Grant Williams that I thought when he hit the floor, like, all right, that's legit a foul. That wasn't called. Like, all right, that should have been called a foul. But a couple of the other times, man, he was like a fish out of water. Like, going up, found a little contact, and then was like, ah! It's like, dude, get up, man. It's like in Wedding Crashers. Hey, your brother's hurt again. What is his deal? Okay, Grant Williams is down again. What is his deal? Like even the foul that was called on PJ Washington when Grant Williams hit the floor yet again. And I know by saying the one where Grant Williams hit the floor is not distinguishable from the others because it's just simply which one out of the six times. But PJ Washington jumped straight up. Like out of all the ones that were called a foul, like the one that was actually called a foul wasn't a foul. And even Jay Billis was like, look, man, I mean, he jumped straight up. I don't really know what more you can ask them to do. Grant Williams is driving from the three-point line, takes a couple of dribbles. P.J. Washington jumps straight up. Williams goes into his chest and falls backwards, and it's called a foul. And it's like, whoa, hey, he's allowed that area. Like, we see that all the time with guys that jump straight up. Kentucky does a really good job with their centers. Nick Richards and P.J. Washington, especially, he does a really good job with that, jumping straight up. And not, you know, drawing the foul, not bringing the arms down. But we saw that a lot. And look, if it's called closer, if they're going to say any contact in this one, they don't want it to turn out like that there in Knoxville, then it'll be interesting to see how the game is played a little bit different. Because, again, Tennessee talked about that they played Tennessee tough, that they want to bring the physicality to the game. Well, if they do that next time, is it going to be called a little bit closer and therefore some of those things won't be allowed? I don't know. We'll see. I just know that Kentucky proved that they were one of the best teams in the country. Not the best team, but one of the best teams in the country. And while they were up by 24 and how dominant they were at times could be a little bit surprising, but it was not surprising that they were the better team. And not just they were the better team, oh, because, you know, Tennessee, oh, you know, we just didn't really bring it. You know, we weren't Tennessee tough. Yeah, you know why you weren't Tennessee tough? Because Kentucky was better. Because sometimes when you get on the floor and you're not playing as well as you hoped you would play and the other team is playing well and maybe you're not playing because the other team is long and talented and they're actually the aggressor, sometimes you're just like, oh, well, that's how it's going to be. I see. You know, December 9th, not playing any team above 38 in the KenPom. Turns out you walk out there and you see, you know, a really good team, one of the best teams in the country that's actually working and defending and rebounding and fighting for loose balls. Sometimes you just sort of let go of the rope and you're like, oh, wait, yeah, that they are a really talented team. And they are. Kentucky's a better version of Tennessee. As I've said for how long? Tennessee is talented. Tennessee's good. But they're a lesser version of UK. They have many guys that can have a big night. Jordan Bone had, what, 19 in the game? I mean, he can drop 20. Grant Williams, we know, can drop 20. He had 40 against Vanderbilt. Admiral Schofield, we know, can drop 20. Bowden off the bench can drop 20. Lamonte Turner can drop 20. We know that about Tennessee. Kyle Alexander, he's not doing that. Fulkerson, he ain't doing that. After that, who else is on Tennessee? So you got five guys there. And with Kentucky, Hagans has dropped 20, although I wouldn't expect that to happen anytime soon again. You know, he did what he had to do in scoring nine and driving, attacking the layup when it was there, dishing and kicking it out and dropping it down and throwing a lob. I mean, he had, what, 7-8 assists in the game to one turnover. Hagans played well in that game. But we know what he can do because he's done it before. Tyler Hero can do that. Keldon Johnson can do that. P.J. Washington clearly can do that because now it's, what, 8-9 games in a row scoring 20-plus points? Reed Travis has shown that he can do that. And then you come off the bench. Look, it's not about guys that are scoring 20 off the bench, but you've got Nick Richards and E.J. Montgomery and Emmanuel Quickley. I will throw in Baker there as a guy that can shoot, but he would have to prove it that he can actually shoot because he keeps coming in the game, taking a three and missing it. If he started making more of those, I would say, and you can come in with Jamal Baker right off the bench and knock down a three. That hasn't really happened. But Kentucky is better at doing what Tennessee wants to do. And they showed on Saturday that they were tougher in doing that as well. And it's not, you know, what are they? The LSU team or the team that played LSU and lost or the team that played against Tennessee and won? I would say they're closer to the team that played against Tennessee and won. And the reason for that is that big game atmosphere and you've got to bring it and be locked in throughout the game for 40 minutes. We've seen Kentucky play a couple of those games since the Duke game. And I emphasize since the Duke game, because they walked into Duke, let's be honest, and thought that they were just going to simply play, and it was maybe easy isn't the right word, but it wasn't going to be as tough as it turned out to be. You know, the other games that are like, okay, this is a big game, North Carolina, Louisville, Auburn on the road, Kansas, Florida on the road to a certain degree. LSU at home should have been that. And then Tennessee at home. Like, those games where you go in and go, all right, this is going to be a fun matchup. Seton Hall, neutral floor? I mean, I don't think the juices are really flowing for that one. They should be, but I'm pointing it out as in, you get to the Sweet 16, you get to the Elite Eight, you know this is the type of game you're going to need to bring to be able to advance. And if Kentucky plays like that, I say if because you can't expect it every night. If Kentucky plays like that in the tournament, how many teams are keeping them from getting to Minneapolis? If they play with that much emotion and energy and intensity in the tournament, how many teams are they matching up against? And I'm talking about in the region, not in the Final Four, not in Minneapolis, in the region, to keep them from getting to Minneapolis. How many teams, if they bring it like that, stop them? Not Michigan State. Not Michigan. We know Tennessee. They've already beaten North Carolina. They've already taken care of Louisville. Duke would be one of them. But again, I can't imagine Duke being in the region that they're in. Of course, then you get Kentucky fans going, oh, just wait. They're going to find a way to screw us over, which, by the way, is what every single team in America says. Oh, of course, the tournament hates us. The committee hates us. They wouldn't do that to Duke or Kentucky. They wouldn't do that to them, but they're going to screw us over. And then Kentucky's like, oh, well, they wouldn't do that to Duke. They're going to screw us over. And then Louisville's like, of course they're going to screw us over. Every team in America thinks the selection committee's out to get them. Even Duke fans think that, well, we're Duke, so they're going to try to keep us down. They're going to give us Lehigh as a 15. Oh, they're going to try to – whoever got Norfolk State, you just knew the tournament hated. You just knew the tournament would try to screw them over. But if they're a one seed and you're looking at the other teams that are going to be two and threes, like if they play like that, and that's the point of getting to this level and proving it on the floor when you say, all right, here's what I think Kentucky can be. Here's what I think Kentucky is compared to Tennessee, that is the number one team in the land. Some of it schedule generated, but the number one team in the land. They'd won 19 games in a row. Again, some of it schedule generated, but they did find a way to win some of those games. They held off Alabama 1-3 at home. They win at Vanderbilt while they were down 6 with, what, a minute 30 to play. They certainly got a gifted flagrant, but they were down, 6. They found a way to come back, tie it up, get into overtime, and win that game. So credit where credit is due in those games. And they had a number of games, by the way, where they might have been in it for a while, and then they just punched another team in the mouth and hit the accelerator and ran away from that team. They did it to Louisville. They've done it to a lot of teams like that, where it's closer, back and forth, it gets later in the game, under 10 minutes, and then boom, they run away. And they've done it to a number of teams this year. They did that to where they almost got back in the game, and then Kentucky then responded and kept them at arm's length. And then at that point, the game essentially went from, 20 down to 14 to 18 down to 12. I think at that point it was played like within a 5 or 6 point window after they got within 12. So I think on Saturday it was an impressive win. And now moving forward, what does Kentucky do? Missouri is going to be an easy game on tomorrow night. Auburn is a home game. They already took care of Auburn on the road. That's a home game. That shouldn't be an issue. Arkansas, again, a home game. It's not going there to Arkansas to Fayetteville. It's a home game. Tennessee on the road. That's the one. Ole Miss on the road, we'll see. Florida at home. You already took care of Florida by double digits on the road, and now you get them at home. There is one game remaining where you look at it and go, well, could Kentucky lose? And you say, wow, that's not a letdown. Every other game is an upset. And by the way, I would say a decent upset. Even Auburn at home, decent upset. Sorry. Missouri on the road, massive. Although KenPom has it at 9. What the hell is KenPom watching? Is that the right one? Do they have the right... Missouri, 70-61. Yeah, I'll take that. Right? I mean, I'll take that.
Maybe UK comes out and is just sleepwalking through the first half. Maybe that's why.
Well, I will tell you that that arena with no fans can put you to sleep very quickly. I mean, it can get very sleepy in there very quickly. It's like, hey, woo! All right, guys.
Dun, da, da, da. Da, 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 da.
It's not their fight song, Matt.
Hey.
It's like at a baseball game where you're like you're at a your little kid's baseball game, little league.
Come on, Johnny. What do you say, Johnny Cueto?
Nice him, nice him. Like that's 40 minutes.
What do you say there, Kevin? Nice him. All right, all right. There you go. Defend. All right. There you go, Konzo Martin.
You can just hear him the whole time in the huddle. Konzo Martin mic'd up. No, he's not. You just hear him talking. So, again, that should be an easy one. I don't know what Ken Pom's looking at by 70-61, but we'll see. Auburn at home. By the way, the outside of Tennessee, the lowest percentage chance of Kentucky in a game is at Ole Miss, and it's 65% of them winning. Missouri's 82% on the road. Auburn is 75% at home. Arkansas's 91% at home. Ole Miss is 65% on the road. And Florida's 82% at home. Tennessee on the road is 39%. So can they end up, you know, what would that be, 26-5 heading into the SEC tournament? With an opportunity to enter the NCAA tournament at 29-5? Yeah, you're in the conversation at that point, and I don't even know about in the conversation. Well, I would say you're in the conversation for a one seed. And then the question is, you go back to that, what we asked, what, 2-3 weeks ago? Would you rather be a one seed out west, and you know you're getting Gonzaga as your two, or would you rather be the two seed in either KC or Louisville? Because by beating Tennessee, and here's what I would be rooting for the rest of the way if I was Kentucky. One, for Tennessee to keep sliding back. But also for Virginia to do the same thing. But for Tennessee to be behind Virginia. Because if Kentucky is a two seed, and they are a two seed, and the top two, and as long as Tennessee, if they are a one, is not in Louisville, Kentucky's going to play in Louisville as a two seed. They might end up being a one. But when they lost to LSU, they didn't lose Louisville by losing to LSU. I mean, again, because if Tennessee is in Louisville as the number two overall team in the tournament, because they would get sent here, then Kentucky cannot play here. But if Virginia, by beating North Carolina and, you know, by way of surviving Notre Dame, and, you know, they've got Louisville coming up this weekend, if Virginia is the number two overall team, they will then be sent to Louisville. And then, you know, Gonzaga or Tennessee, either one. If Gonzaga's next, they'll go out west. Tennessee then to Kansas City. Or if Tennessee's next, they'll go to Kansas City. Gonzaga out west. Regardless, it'll be the same thing. And then if Kentucky's the top two, they'll go to Louisville. They'll be the two seed, but they'll go to Louisville. And that would have happened with, you know, them losing to LSU as well. If they, you know, split with Tennessee, and we'll see what happens in the SEC tournament. Like, Tennessee can go and win the rest of their games, split with Kentucky, get a Kentucky win on March 2nd. Could win the SEC tournament and solidify a one seed, while Virginia is playing really well the rest of the way, and they solidify a one seed, but they are ahead of Tennessee. And if we all say, well, Gonzaga is definitely a one seed, because how could they possibly lose the one seed? Well, they're going to have to lose a game against some pretty bad opponents, and that's probably not going to happen. So, again, Kentucky and Louisville, like, Louisville wasn't lost by losing to LSU, because, again, we've talked about it. As long as Tennessee is not in Louisville, Kentucky can still go there as a two or even a three, depending on, you know, the bracketing sort of principles. Because, again, they even said they were going to put Kansas and Kansas City as a three seed, and they even said they did. Because the committee chair, what did he say, that their original bracket had Kansas and Kansas City? And then when the brackets were done, they looked at, and bracketing principles means that there can't be a five, there can't be five, you know, seeds, if you want to call it, difference between the two, between any of the top or the bottom brackets in regions. So essentially, when you add up the 1-4 and what their overall ranking is, I know it sounds sort of confusing, but essentially what they did was, you know, they look at the bracket and they say, you know, Duke, Michigan, Iowa State, and Marquette. Well, Duke's the one. Michigan was what? The six. So then that's 7 points. And then you add up Iowa State and Marquette where they were 1-16. And then you get the number. And you do that for all of the regions. And it has to be within five from the top to the bottom. And the way that it's set up now is 37-32. it's within five. But when they put Kansas in Kansas City, it was a wider margin than five. So they had to take Kansas out of Kansas City to be able to equal out the brackets. But they were going to put them there. So that's Kentucky. Real quick, and I want to get to some phone calls on Louisville. I think the Louisville assessment is somewhat easy, and it's closing games. Like, there's almost at this point nothing else that matters because they were clearly the better team for 30 minutes. They had taken care of Clemson on Saturday, had a nice run at the end of the game, put together the offensive run, put together the defensive stops, got into position to win that game. They're up 7 with 15 seconds to go. And somehow, in some strange world, that the ball was in the air from 3 feet away to win the game for Clemson. And Jordan Wara comes out of nowhere and tips the ball away, and then Clemson also gets another shot from, what, 6 feet away, 7 feet away? That, you know, that misses and everybody exhales. And I'll be honest with you, when that second shot missed, I was J.R. Smithing it. I thought it was a two-point game. Legit, when the ball was in the air, I thought that was to tie. And it wasn't until it was missed, and I was like, holy bleep, they were only oh, that's right, they were only one! Holy, wow. Like, I legit thought, like, if they made that, no way they're going to force overtime. And then as it missed, I'm like, wait a minute. It dawned in my head right as the ball was bouncing off the rim right before the buzzer sounded. I'm like, oh, my God, that was to win the game. Like, that could have been the season. Like, legit, the Wara block shot and the ball not falling in on the second shot could have been the season. And, I mean, it's just, at this point, there is no lead that's safe. Like, I don't know, at what point do you feel like the game is over? Up 10 with 20 seconds to play? Because Clemson was down 7 with 15 seconds. Hit a 3, get a tie up, hit a 3, turnover. Two shots to win the game. And it's collapsing again, and it is, whether it's coaching, whether it was players, whether it's not being mentally strong enough, whether it's not really, you know, understanding how to close out a game, whether it's years of, the last year, I guess, would be of Louisville finding excuses for not finding a way to win, because that was a year ago, right? I'm not talking about just the excuses. I'm talking about the fact that they would lose games, close games against good teams, and you go, well, that's why they didn't make the tournament.
There comes a time in some people's lives where they wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, and say to themselves, oh, my God.
You know what? It wasn't waking up in the morning. Well, I will tell you, on Sunday, I bet a lot of Louisville fans woke up in the morning, looked in the mirror, and said, oh, my God, we could have lost the damn game. Now, they did that Wednesday, woke up, maybe they didn't sleep, but woke up and thought, That wasn't a dream, was it? That was not a dream, was it? Damn it. Although I can't say that in the house anymore. It's now come time to where you got to watch what you say around the household. Yeah. Got the alert from the preschool teacher of, yeah, Everett said, Everett was at the table, and he said, damn it. The first thing I thought was, damn it, he must have heard that from his mom.
Pat Holmes.
I mean, she's got to watch her mouth around him. Man. Damn it, honey. What's the deal? Why are you cussing around him? I mean, this is ridiculous. Damn it. So now we are in the... We are in the mode of, oh, man. That's what we say now. Oh, man. So all weekend.
You'll never make it.
I know. All weekend, little man was going, oh, man. That's great. But there comes a time when you wake up in the morning and you go, oh, my God. And that's essentially what happened there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, look, you remember the Virginia game. That's one that people can point out time and time again of, wow, that Virginia game, that's the one that sticks out. True, The Clemson game also sticks out. The Florida State game also sticks out. The Seton Hall game also sticks out. Like, that happened a number of times last year. This year, the Marquette game, again, benefited from, you know, some nice stiff arms from Marcus Howard. That is absolutely what took place. But again, the ball was in the air. A Louisville player on scholarship rebounds it, has a layup to win the game. Doesn't hit it. Those are things where you find a way to win. Syracuse, same thing a year ago. Like, you look back and see all of the different games that they lost by a close margin. Like, the close margin would be that was the difference between making the tournament or not. It's not going to be the case this year, but it has been something that has continued over from a year ago. They found a way to get by Clemson, and that would have been, I feel like that almost would have been a little more heartbreaking than the Duke game. It's odd to think about. Maybe we'll get into that conversation. Will wants to weigh in on ESPN 680 105.7 on this Monday. Will, go right ahead, sir. The floor is yours.
All right. Good day, gentlemen.
To you as well.
I do not understand the coaches today. Okay, if I can go back a little bit, well, let's just take the Clemson game. We had the possession arrow, right, at the 3.5-second mark. Okay, we throw it in under our basket.
That's after you're talking about after Dwayne Sutton got tied up and they got the ball back and hit the three. Then the possession arrow, that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
You're like, if there was going to be a possession
situation,
we had it.
Cool.
Okay, why not? Okay, think about it. You don't need to dribble. You don't need to shoot. You're up one. You just need the ball in your hand. Why not put your tallest guys on the court? Again, you don't need dribbling. You don't need a hero. Why wouldn't you set up something around the key to the half court, get the ball away? So even if they steal the ball, which they did, they have to make a shot that's not a layup. Because technically, I'm a Louisville fan to heart. We should have lost the game on stupidity. Okay, then you look at the game, Duke game. They said that Krzyzewski told his players, I don't coach losers. Okay? Why didn't we come back with intensity and say, guess what, guys, here's what we're going to do. If you ever play ball in the park as a kid, you know you got the hot shot kid that can shoot. Guess what you did? You hacked the kid. Remember Hacker Shaq? The coaches today, except the good ones, few and far between, these coaches have no imagination. It's like, we got a game plan. We're down 20. They do the same thing over and over. The kid that kept killing us, what was it, Barrick? In the Duke game that kept...
It was Zion. Or Reddish was the one that kept knocking the threes.
Reddish. Okay, yeah. The kid. Why not say, okay, you're on that guy. Guess what? I don't care if you knock him down. I don't care if you get put out of the game. That boy does not shoot. And you don't foul him in the active shooting. You're going to foul him as soon as he gets the ball. Foul. My point is, there's no creativity. It's like, why on earth would you throw the ball in under the basket?
Well,
tell me that. Give me an explanation for that.
No, look, there's no explanation with that. I will be look, throwing the ball underneath the basket, the explanation I would give in terms of that play is that wasn't the first option on that play. I think that was after the first couple didn't, you know, go the way that they were hoping the first options. Then it was, all right, you got Dwayne Sutton there in the middle. And quite frankly, whether Dwayne Sutton was pulled or whatever, he's too damn tough and strong to be falling backwards as easy as he did. Like, he's too good, too tough, and that's one of the things that Chris Mack was talking about is the posture of, you know, how, you know, he's, you know, how he plays, one, getting tied up, and then two, you know, falling back. Like, he's too good for that. He's too strong for that. You know that. You've seen him do that all the time. Like, he can keep his balance. If you're able to, Will, drive to the basket against Division I players, and they're bumping you and throwing and trying to knock you off your line, and you can take that hit and still finish through those defenders, you can stand there and get bumped and not fall backwards. All right.
Yeah, but why not create a play?
Well, I think that they were creating a play. Now, if you're saying create a play just to midcourt, like, I'm fine with that too, but there's still, what, 3 seconds, 4 seconds left, you're going to get fouled. So if you're just throwing in, you know, throwing out the tallest players, you need somebody out there that's going to knock down the free throws that you can trust to get the ball. That's one of the things they wanted to get the ball to Ryan McMahon first. Then Cunningham, Clemson made the plays late, and then they tried to get it to Dwayne Sutton just to simply throw the ball in.
You're up a point.
I don't disagree. But if you're up a point and you get the ball, you know, stolen at half court, they can go from half court to lay it up in 3 seconds. Tyus Edney went full length in 4.2.
But the odds are greater if you're under the freaking basket. I mean, come on.
Oh, I agree. If it's stolen. Like, I'm not – see, the thing is, like, you and I agree in terms of write up a play and have it to where it gets in. Chris Mack did that. The problem is executing. The problem is actually running the play. So they can draw up a play to throw it to midcourt. But if they don't execute and the ball's immediately stolen, and now they run and drive to the basket and maybe they're fouled because they got a longer run at the basket and a little more momentum, and you're going to have to play that either trying to take a charge like McMahon did against Reddish, you know, on Tuesday night, or try to block the shot and get a foul, or the guy, you know, makes it. I think you're in a more difficult position than a guy stealing the ball and throwing the little, you know, floater up that, you know, war coming out of nowhere if you do that. The matter is executing, Will. That's it. Not getting tied up and giving the ball away. And then not falling down and throwing the ball right in the middle of the lane. That to me is the issue, executing. Whether it's coaching a little bit better and why they aren't executing, that's where Chris Mack has to figure that out, and that's what he makes the big bucks for, Will.
All right, I'll keep listening.
I appreciate you, man. All right, 267-9680 is the phone number. We got a little full court press coming up on the other side of the break. We'll continue that conversation as well because I think it's a good one because it's happened too many times with Louisville lately.
You are listening to the Zone Podcast. Check out Jason Anderson weekdays 3 to 6 only on ESPN 680 and ESPNLouisville.com.
UPS is now hiring package handlers in Louisville. Package handlers earn competitive wages. And with UPS's Metropolitan College program, you can graduate 100% debt-free. Get in the game with UPS. Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.